What's going on, fellow A-plusers? We're back once again with a brand new episode review for Bakuwan Sentai Boon Boomger, episode number 3. I'm your host, Adam Perez, man. Let's go ahead and get into this episode. We wind up getting ourselves a brand new episode here this weekend, and I'm continuing to really love this series so far. It continues to grow on me each and every week. I think the different personalities that continue to come out of these characters as we learn more and more about them, I just really love their pairing, quite frankly. Like, for instance, in this episode, the idea that I think one of the things I'm continuing to learn about Taya in here, Taya Hondo, is that he has really high expectations for his teammates, to the point to where they almost never really meet them, or he never really thinks that they're doing what he's kind of hoping or thinking that they're doing. Like, this is the second or third time I've seen him do this. The first time, I think, came with Ishiro, where he made the excuse for Ishiro when he wind up leaving Mira to face off the monster by himself, saying, you know, he just left because he knew that you could handle the situation, and he thought you would hold off until he came back with the vehicle. And even Ishiro's like, what? Like, no, that wasn't even my game plan. Like, that wasn't even what I was thinking, what I was trying to initially do. He literally just left her. And even in this particular episode, the idea of Mira leaving on the bicycle, first off, I honestly thought she was going to join the fight. When she puts her arm out like that, I'm like, isn't that her wrong henshin arm? And then she gives a thumbs up, and I'm like, oh, well, yeah, there you go. She wasn't fighting anyway. The fact that he views that and believes that her natural instinct is she's using it as a diversion to, like, draw the monster away. Like, even Ishiro doesn't believe it, but then come to find out that Mira, as honest as she is like a decoy. Like, no, I'm not even, that's not even what I was trying to do. Like, he just has this high expectation, looking at her sort of as this rising star, in the sense of, like, it just comes natural to her. Like, she knows the game plan, sort of thing. It's like, no, that's not what she was doing at all. And so it does make me wonder if this is just a trait of Taya Hondo that we're going to see on a week-to-week basis, almost, him thinking that his teammates are, like, going above and beyond or thinking one step ahead, sort of thing, and him always going to have his expectations not necessarily lowered, but always be wrong in that instance. And I love that he just continues to turn those moments into, like, positive moments, right? Understanding why he's admiring Mira the way that he does, the honesty, the lack of gravitas, right? But certainly always kind of coming through. And so maybe I don't want to say he'll lower his expectations, but he'll continue to learn more and more about his teammates as they go along. But they're just really interesting character traits and personalities that I think really mesh well for all these characters together. And each and every week I continue to see it. It's one that honestly grows on me. It to the point to where I almost would not mind if this series was just these three characters. Like, I know eventually Gemba is going to join the crew. Joe Akusa is going to join the crew also. But I'm really loving just this threesome, this trio, certainly, if you will. And I'm a really big fan of their pairing. A couple other things in here. I'm really loving how they're using the opening recaps. It's not just a, hey, last time on Boom Boomger. You know, they are actually allowing these characters to, like, give input also. The little jabs here and there, kind of talking over the recap, and very, very present day, instead of, like, talking about, you know, just a original ordinary recap of what happened last week. They seem like they're going to have a little bit of fun and poke a little bit of fun at each other here and there in the first couple of minutes of this episode. And it kind of sets a really, really good tone. I continue to think the music, the soundtrack for this series blows me away. They've got some jazzy moments in here. They got some really sentimental moments in here when things, music in here. I think we heard it a little bit between Taya and Ishiro as they're kind of talking about Mira and the plan, and Ishiro not really trusting her so much, but trusting in Taya and his decision making. And then even during the fight sequence, the music gets me hyped. I mean, I think music all around in here, whether it be the opening sequence, the opening theme, I should say, it all really works. And I think that just really elevates their series a little bit more. And I think the humor is pretty on point. This episode, I think that the writing is pretty clever. in the sense that they've got some great humor that isn't super obvious and overly comedic. They know when to stop the music, pull out of a particular scene to let it just sit in its awkwardness at times. That really benefits this series with not being too over the top. And this episode actually tricked me a couple of times. For instance, like when Mira is driving on the bike, but we see that Boone Red and Boone Blue are in a fight and she stops on her bike and she looks back. For a second, I thought to myself, like, oh, like she either got a notification that there's a fight happening or she knows, like she hears the battle certainly happening and she's going to go back and join the fight. No, she just literally lost her sense of direction and went the other way. And we see her crossing into the camera's path and then even kind of coming back again. Also, the idea of me thinking she was about to get in the battle only to give us a thumbs up and then go on her merry way, I thought was pretty brilliant in here. You know, Taya had me thinking literally for a minute, like, really, was that Mira's plan this whole entire time to distract it? I'm like, dang, no way. But he almost made me believe that that was what she was truly doing until she wound up being honest with him at the end, like, decoy. Like, no, I'm not your decoy. So I just think that the writing in here is really clever. It's pretty witty. And it really makes me chuckle. It certainly makes me think. So really great aspects of this week's episode, man. But let's dig a little bit deeper in here. Because we clearly get to learn in this episode, Mira certainly is the sentimental type. The fact that she wind up taking on this delivery on her own, I definitely think speaks volumes. The idea is this little kid wind up handcrafting a mirror for his grandmother. It unfortunately cracks, but Mira decides to go ahead and take it up on her own to help this kid out. Thinks it's a sweet gift from him and wants to deliver it to his grandma for him. I love the fact that Boondario finds it just as sentimental and winds up crying along with her type of thing. But I think it definitely goes to show you her heart and also the idea that she's not afraid to certainly take the initiative. I thought she was pretty slick and wanted to go ahead and take homeboy's ride along the same way. I probably would have tried to pull that off also. But Taya clearly wants her to, look, if you picked up the delivery, that's your job sort of thing. And I love how Genba put it. You have her kind of grinding out experience, don't you? And he's like, yeah, she's got to learn some way, one way or the other. But I do think it goes to show you Mira's personality, her heart. And I think the fact at the end of the day, that's something that Taya, you can clearly see at the end as she delivers it, truly appreciates. And the fact that he didn't really even give her pushback on the sense of like, why would you take a delivery that, you know, I didn't approve of sort of mentality. He's really like allowing her to kind of come on her own. And I think at the same time, understanding and learning more about who she is, certainly as a person. And so I thought that was pretty cool that Mira picked up that delivery herself and really got to show a little bit of an emotional kind of side to her, if you will. I also want to say the fight choreography in here is incredible. It's so on point. It's extremely smooth every time that I watch it. A couple of great moments. One of laughter in here. I kind of love the red light, green light sort of fighting technique that they wind up having in the beginning when they're facing off against this clock monster, picking up on the idea that it attacks anything that moves. So they stay as still as possible. And as it turns its back, you know, they run up to it until it turns around. Very red light, green light. But it's pretty cool to see how they pulled that off. Some really great shots in here too. Whoever the director was for this episode, I was truly a big fan of. You know, I love the shot of seeing the monster cut the officer or officer's bike in half, and you only see his top portion as he's pretending to pedal, and then the camera pulls back and you see the bike is actually cut in half. It was a great reveal and a great directing choice, honestly. But really too, the idea of like the officer being kind of stuck in the middle of this battle, and you know, the choreography having to kind of incorporate him, you know, whether it be Taya or Ishiro having to kind of handle of moving this officer kind of out of the way, I thought it made for a really great dynamic for the fight sequence, and even get an opportunity to see like the officer shoot the bullet, the monster deflect the bullet, throw the slash, and Taya move the officer just in time to dodge the slash, and seeing the slow motion of his gun being cut in half. Really great visuals in here, and really fun sort of secondary, or I should say first battle sequence that we wind up getting in here. But I think for me, the final battle sequence was incredible. Getting to see how the three of them work together, still kind of moving Mira around a little bit to kind of maybe help teach her the flow of the group. I wonder if that's something that continues or lessens as she gets more and more comfortable being a part of the team. But it was just incredibly smooth transitions, moving her out of the way, ducking her down whenever he certainly needed her to. And I think the idea of them having unique weapons in that sense of either they can use a sword or the combination of the sword and the gun sort of thing, just two different levels of attack, high, low, slash, from a distance. They play with it so incredibly well when it comes to the fight choreography and the fight direction in here that I was blown away. It was absolutely marvelous to kind of see the final sequence on screen. So the fight choreography for me continues to certainly impress. And then last but not least, we got ourselves a new vehicle in here, the Boom Boom Classic, as we have a brand new attack mode. We saw them kind of working on it at the beginning in here, but this is really sort of like their dual sword wielding combination in here. And it looked great. I'm a big fan of the mech itself opening up and it sort of creating a portal from that highway space or that rainbow road and allowing the vehicles to come from there into sort of the reality, if you will. I thought that was a really cool shot to kind of see it coming from one reality into another. And the design, I think, is pretty cool. It almost goes from like a vehicle into like a jet in the sense of the sword being able to fly around and then right into the robo's hand. So great mech battle in here this week also. And it does look like, I will say, if anything, I am really curious as to who the lady that arrived at the police station is, as Officer Joe Akusa, who will eventually become the Black Ranger in here. I am kind of curious, is that his sergeant? He clearly didn't know who it was. So I am kind of curious who she is, if she is part of the police force or if she's somebody else. But she looks like she's a ball buster, man. So, I mean, homeboy already finds himself in like unfortunate predicaments each and every week, always running into the monsters, the Boom Boom girls themselves, and he clearly has no idea what's going on. So she certainly has some questions. She clearly knows who the Boom Boom girls are, so they clearly have been doing this for quite some time to be on the radar of somebody else. So maybe we'll have some more light shined on exactly who she is, what her motives are. But yeah, it'll make it an even more interesting dynamic when he does become a Boom Boom girl and clearly has to kind of keep that a secret from his, what I would assume would be his person in command or in charge of him at some point in time, and kind of keep that a secret. So should be another fun dynamic. But yeah, she definitely looks like a ball buster, to say the least. But I'm a big fan of this episode, man. This series, 3 for 3. It feels like it continues to get better and better, especially as I become more and more fond of these characters. And I think the character work goes a really long way. I kind of wish we had more time with the characters. I feel like we have been utilizing a lot more time with the mech battles, or at least I should say the highway battles. This is something that I've seen week after week after week. I am wondering if that's something that's going to continue, because there's a part of me that almost would rather not have that in there each and every week and utilize just those brief couple of minutes to utilizing them towards our character work even more. Not to say they're doing a bad job on that, but I would like to see more of these characters, if that makes sense. But look, guys, at the end of the day, these are just my A+ opinions. I want to know yours. What did you guys think of Boom Boom Girl episode number 3? Let me know your thoughts in the comment section box below. But until next time, guys, do us a big favor as always. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and keep it A+. We'll see you, Boone. Bye.